long is it?
You're 45 minutes. Love, you're 30 minutes.
Love Radio.
14th, we are joined by celebrity hairstylist Kaya Wright. Hi, Kaya. How are you?
Everybody.
Hello.
I'm good.
Hi. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Sure. For sure. Glad to be here.
I'm glad we finally, you know, were able to schedule you. Now, normally we do some beauty announcements, but we, from what I understand, we only have you for 45 minutes. Is that correct?
I'm trying to push for that, but I had a client that came in a little earlier, but I'm excited. Let's just talk.
Okay, so we'll have you on for as long as we can, and then we'll save our beauty announcements to the end of the show, so that way we
can... Yeah, you can always have me back. You can always have me back.
Exactly. So we just want to jump right in, but I just want to remind everyone out there that's listening, if you have questions for Kaya or if you want to make a comment, you can give us a call at 914-803-4399. Again, that's 914-803-4399. And I want to also say that if you're listening by phone, we do appreciate you calling in, but we like to try to keep our phone lines clear so that our guests can get callers. Unless you're Teresa, Teresa is allowed to stay on the phone. If she's listening by phone, everybody else, I would appreciate it if you could listen for a little while by phone. But if you could get on your computer, that would be great. Kaya, I want to first just start off again welcoming you, and then asking. I know that you started doing hair at a very young age. What inspired you to become a hairstylist?
What inspired me? Let's think back. Basically, I think I started doing hair when I was in probably about 12 years old. I was doing hair. I just remember, like, doing my mom, doing my friends at school. Like, I was just hustling. I was trying to just make money, like, just so I could, like, buy little clothes.
Right.
I was doing nails. I was doing hair. I was doing feet. I was putting little, then when the nails had curve on them, I had curve nails. I was doing everything. Really, it started out just to make money. And then my mom felt that I was really good, but she was like, you know what, I'm going to put you in hair school. And it's interesting because my mom passed away the year that she put me in. She might have passed away maybe about like 4 months after that. I hadn't even completed hair school, and maybe in my third year, and I think she like passed away, and I had like one more year left. So that's pretty much how I started, her just encouraging me to do hair. And this is the only job I've ever had in my life, and I was never even an assistant. Like,
wow.
I've only done hair my whole life. This is it.
Wow. So you said, like, you said something about your third year in hair school. Were you in hair school, like, part-time? Is that what it is? Is that
so
why
when
you said?
When I started, I took it as a trade. So
gotcha.
I took it, you know, you can take it, like, I don't know if they still do this, but back in my day, well, I'm not old, but, you know.
Right.
You would take it as a trade, so it would be like it would act as a science or biology credit, and then I would just go to regular class. So I paid
$150.
Yeah, I did in the high school. So I paid $150 for a kit. That was it, and it was like a class.
Oh,
got
great.
Yeah. So I did it. It was like, I think it was just, I was born for it because I just, this is the only job I've ever had. I mean, I started out like in Silver Spring, Maryland with these, like three gay guys, and they were like marketing geniuses, and they were really good. They used to do like Salt and Pepper and like, you know, a few little industry girls of people that would come through D.C. Mm-hmm. And I just remember being like, oh, my God, I want to be like them when I grow up. And I end up working with them at like 17, 18, and I probably built up like a huge, I learned under them. Like they were like the guys that really inspired me. I mean, they were fast. They could pump out like 20 heads in like a day, like 8 hours. They could do like 20 people, literally. And,
Wow.
They taught me, yeah, they taught me speed. They taught me marketing. They taught me, I mean, they didn't know they were teaching me these things, but I'm the type of artist that I can watch you from afar and pretty much copy anything. So I just had that type of memorable eye, and I always paid attention to detail. Like, I'm a very detailed stylist. Like, that's one of my gifts and one of my bad qualities, too, I think. Yeah, because, like, a lot of times when you do editorial, I might be spinning off a little bit, but a lot of times a lot of times you do editorial, sometimes they don't want your work to be so neat and black girl press.
Yeah, exactly.
So I had to learn how to do soft, pretty hair for TV and editorial and things like that. So when I say it's a gift and a curse, that's what I mean. Like, you know, a lot of stylists don't know how to transcend. Their work doesn't transcend. It's just, you know, I call it, you know, black girl hair. You know?
Yes. Now, that's important that you made that statement, because I see that all the time, especially, you know, there are always a lot of girls, you know, who want to get into, you know, the union for hair and makeup. And they don't understand that when you're doing television and film, you know, it can't be that, you know, neat salon hair. It's got to have some movement, but they don't get it. They just think, oh, that, you know, her hair doesn't look good, but yet she's in the union. I'm not in the union, but my hair looks better than hers. And it has nothing to do with that.
Nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. And that's, you know, that was something that I learned because, you know, in me working on Top Model, like for a very long time, I refused to do television because I felt like it wasn't enough money. But it was almost like I got my master's because now I have a degree, which is 2 Emmys, and I am in the union now. So
yeah.
I'm really glad that I did that because the accolades that I was able to accumulate were I can't even express. Like, I'm so glad I did it. And I ended up being with Tyra for like 4 years, won 2 Emmys. I'm in the union, and it's great, you know?
Right.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you, you moved from D.C. to New York to L.A. How was moving to these different cities and cultures, how did that help your career?
It helped because, okay, I started out in D.C., and D.C. is where I learned my craft. It's where I learned how to observe my girls, know who I'm working with, and know how to cater to that market. And back then, it was all about spiky hair, the real press, little teeny curls with the iron that's as small as smaller than your pinky,
small
like really knowing how to just really, I learned detail. D.C. is where I learned how to cut, I learned detail, and I learned how to style. And so from there, I feel like that's the beginning. Those are the building blocks. That's the foundation of being a good stylist, is knowing how to style and cut and be detailed with the hair. Because girls from D.C., they're very... D.C. girls were known for having great hairstyles.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's pretty much your foundation. And then when I moved to New York, it was more about medium-length hair and doobies and more, you know, medium-length cuts and maybe a little bit of long, but girls were kind of growing their cuts out, and I had to learn how to be creative and grow your hair out and, you know, doing extensions and weaves, but I really didn't know how to do them that good. I realized that I thought I was good, but when I moved to L.A., I realized I really wasn't that good. But because I was a good stylist, I could cheat it.
Gotcha.
So then when I moved to L.A., L.A. was about beautiful, pretty, flowing, movable, bodyful, greaseless hair. And so, and it was about pressing and curling and styling. So my career evolved over the years, and I evolved with it. I didn't just stay in the kitchen and, you know, just want to do hair. And I wasn't the stylist that, I find that a lot of stylists, black, white, whatever, I find that they always, the first thing they say is, hello?
We're here.
I find that a lot of guys want to work in their, they want to own their own salon. They work in a salon for 2-3 years, and they're like, I want to own my own salon. But one of the things about that is when you're working by yourself, you don't learn anything. You don't, you're not growing. You're not evolving the way that you would if you worked with your peers. And, hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, I'm sorry, I got so quiet. Okay, I'm sorry. So I found out when I, one of the things about me, and I think which makes me talented and as successful as I am, is because I love energy. I love other people. I love other stylists that are open and that are growing. And I like to work with the best. Like that's always been my thing. If I move to a new city, I want to work in the hottest salon. I want to work with the hottest, like, hairstylists. I want to be with them. I want to learn from them. I share everything. I share my gift because it's not mine to begin with.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I feel like, you know, you can't take what I have because what I have is, it's in me. It has nothing to
right.
do with, you know, my hands curling and clacking hair all day. That's not what it is. It's my mind. It's my imagination. Those are the things that, I mean, sometimes I do work and I surprise myself. I'm like, ooh, I didn't know I could do that. You know,
right.
So it's just been a process, and I feel like me moving to different states, it just helped me, like I paid attention to what the market needed and what it, you know, what that market did, you know?
Absolutely. Now, we have a couple people on the phone with their hands up looking like they want to talk, so let's see. Someone from the 310 area code. Hello, caller. Hello.
Hello.
How are you? They dropped the call, so I guess they don't want to talk. Okay, so my next question, and it's still about not moving necessarily, but when you travel internationally, what do you pick up in terms of hair care and product knowledge?
In my travels, particularly, I think it was last year, I spent some time in, like, China, Japan, Japan particularly. And what I look at mostly are the cuts. Like, it was all about the asymmetrical cuts, the razoring, you know, just like the little, like the bangs were like kind of slanted and lopsided last year, shorter on one side, falling longer to the other, kind of mullety in the back, longer in the back. Like I learned a lot of just cuts. I pay attention to cuts more than products. You know, I think what, like countries like that, like Japan, China, places like that, they're a little bit more into that edgy and that and those cuts and things like that. So not products as much as haircuts is what I pay more closer attention to.
Gotcha. So you've won 2 Emmys. You're now in the union, like you said.
Yep.
You've been with Tyra Banks for 4 years. You've worked with numerous celebrities, Jennifer Hudson, Faith Evans, Kerry Washington, Gabrielle Union, Ciara, and so many, many more. When you've reached that level of success, what keeps your career new and fresh?
Just like I touched on a little bit before, it's more about staying, like I'm really passionate about what I do, and I think that's probably where it starts, just my passion for just being great and being better. And then from there, that's inside of me, and from there, I just try to always surround myself with other stylists that are better, you know, that inspire me, that I can just look over to my right or look over to my left and see something I never saw before, whether it's a weave technique or whether it's a color pattern that I never, you know, that I would have never known about. You know, like the, you know, like just they do balayage in the white salon. Balayage is a technique of how you apply color versus the other way where you use foil or the cap. So, you know, just staying, I have to be where the bee is. Like, if this is where, if I'm at Warren Tracomi, L.A. right now, it's a hot salon, they're innovative, they're edgy, I always stay at the top. And that's always, I'm not afraid of the top. I'm not afraid of working with the best. I'm not afraid of being challenged to be better. You know what I mean? So I think that's what keeps me, you know, at the top of my game. You know, I'm not too proud, or I'm not, you know, to learn or to grow, you know?
Right. Right.
I'm learning every day. I'm learning something every single day, like something. And I came to work in the Warren Tracomi salons because I really wanted to. It's, of course, we know it's not a black salon. It's a white salon.
Right.
We would know it, and we would call it. And I wanted to work here because I wanted to understand product. I needed more product knowledge because a lot of times you have these great styles, but how do you get that, you know, that texture to look like that? Or, you know, how do you get that body or that volume or, like I said, that color technique? How did you get it to look like that? So I wanted to work here so I could have that, so I can have a publicist on board and piggyback off of those things. So that those things don't come out of my pocket necessarily. They kind of do, but it's all in-house. It's all in-house.
Wow.
So it's what we would call corporate world.
Right,
you know, corporate is a little bit, it's a lot more structured, and it's a system. You know what I mean? So for us, you know, a lot of black stylists, we want to work by ourselves, but you're working 10 times harder, you're charging, you know, you're not even charging the prices that you really want to charge, and you're working 10 times harder. So to me, it's all relative to have a receptionist handling your business. It's a publicist on board to give you a splash or two of PR, you know, to be amongst the energy of the little, you know, the little parties, the little Hollywood suite parties they have. You can be there. You can do hair. You can be around beauty editors. And so you're working, you're not working as hard, and you can focus on other things, you know?
Right.
Let me ask you, my
career is most, everything about what I do is making my life easier, you know? Like, I'm great at what I do, but I need it easy around me. I need everything around me to be easy. So I put myself in that environment to create easiness, you know?
Nothing wrong with that.
Good to me. Let me ask you this, because, you know, I just said in the last question that I asked you, you know, now that you've reached that level of success, how do you define success? I mean, that may not be how you define it. How do you define success? And is there a lot more to success than those things that I just mentioned?
Wait, ask me that one more time. I missed it.
And the question that I just asked you before, I said that you had two Emmys, you're now in the union, you were retired for 4 years, you worked with all of these celebrities, and I said after you've reached that level of success, you know, what's next for your career? So my new question now is, how do you define success? Because that may not be how you define success. And so I'm just wondering, how do you define success, and is there a lot more to success than those things that I just mentioned?
Okay, so I don't know if I've touched on that question, but my next level, you asked me what's next for me. Is that what you asked?
No, I'm just asking, how do you define success?
How do I define success? Okay, I see what you said. And then your next question is?
And then, you know, I was just wondering, is success to you more than those things that I just mentioned, you know, the Emmys, the union, the celebrities, that kind of thing?
Oh, God. You know what's really wild? Like, people come over and they see my Emmys, like, in the corner, on the table, on the side, and they're like, oh, my God, you're so humble. Why are these over here in the corner? It's like, those things are great. They're amazing, but it's not it for me. Like, I feel like I'm so behind. Like, I always feel like I'm so behind. And I think that's what keeps the fire inside, you know, like right now I'm developing a product line. So all I want more than anything is to have a product line and speak to people and show people, if, you know, that, you know, how to use these products, how they work, how do we get these Hollywood looks, how, you know what I mean? I'm excited about the next level. So for me, you know, the Emmys are great, the clients are great, but I always want more. Success is like just being inspired daily. Like, to me, that's successful because everybody's not inspired. You can go to some salons and you're like, dang, like you've been going to the same stylist, you get the same look every single week. Like, I'm like a hair Nazi. And I'll tell my friends, you know, I'll tell them, I'll say, my new rule is, I need you to come in with your face made up. Like, come in, if you want a new look, don't come in and you got your scrubs on from the hospital and you like, oh, do my hair and I want something new. I'm not inspired by that. So, and they laugh at me. My clients laugh at me because they feel like, I do what, because, but they know me. I'm like, don't come in here without a face of makeup on. Like, come on, we're grown ladies. Like, it's like walking out the house with a hot outfit, dressed to the tee, and you don't got no makeup on, or no lip gloss, or no mascara. Like, your hair is like the icing on the cake. But sometimes, as a stylist, we need to be inspired by you. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
right.
You the client. You meaning you the client. And, you know, so I'm just like, you know, you inspire, the client inspires me, like, daily. Like, I love, that's why I stay true to the salon. I don't just work I don't just freelance. And a lot of freelancers, a lot of stylists just freelance. A lot of the girls that do the celebrities, the girls or the guys, that's all they do. One thing about me, I always stay true to the salon because it's where, it's my foundation. Like, I love the everyday woman. I love her.
Right. Now, let me ask you, we have some questions from the chat room, and I'll get to those in 1 second after this question. But let me ask you, how do you manage that? Because you do both. You do the salon and you do, you know, your freelance work. How do you manage that? You know, sometimes you may have to, let's say you're working with a client one of your music clients who's on tour, or you have to travel, you know, the world with one of your music clients. How do you handle your salon clients?
You know, it's such a blessing. Like, let me tell you, it's God. It's nothing but God because, like, when I first came to work at the salon, the owner said to me, okay, so how are you going to manage all of this? Like, how are you going to be out for 3 months? I mean, Kaya, you're never going to keep your clientele. I've been doing this for over 15 years, and it's like when you drive past the hot club and you always see a line outside, what do you want to do? You want to get in. You want to get in. And I'm not tooting my own horn, but if you're good at what you do and you're passionate about it and you strive for excellence, it's like it's the law of gravitation. You're going to attract the greatness that's in you. You're going to attract clients. You're going to attract phone calls. You're gonna, like, I don't even have a publicist, and I attract a lot of these type of things is because I work on being 100% in my craft. Like, and when I'm not, I'm like, ooh, I need to get back in the salon, or I need to take, like, just recently I decided I want to take some cutting classes from one of my peers who went to Vidal Festival, and I'm like, can you come in on Mondays and I can just learn some new cuts? She's like, sure, you know what I mean? Because I feel like I need some more inspiration. I need to be able to teach more, show more. I need more. So, anyway, let me get back on track. Your question was, how do I manage it? I just do it, and I know what my focus is. My focus is to build a brand and become a successful hair leader in my industry. I mean, a real successful brand industry owner. That's my goal. Like, I really want to be a businesswoman. The hair is just the thing to get there. You know what I mean? I let clients know. I send them updates. I send them links to my blog to let them know, like, yes, I'm out, but this is what I'm doing, and this is who I'm trying to become. Please bear with me, and thank you for your support. And it's like and when they meet me, they're like, I think they like me, so then they just end up liking me, so they support me, you know?
Right. Right.
And every time, I'm booked, you know? I'm booked every time.
Absolutely. Let's take a couple questions from the chat room.
Okay, I have about four of them, so I'll read one and then let you respond, and then I'll go to the next one. The first one, let's see, hold on, let me get back to it. All right, the first one is from Tyra's Little Sis, and she says, what is another way to save my hair if it's breaking off on one side besides, hold on, they keep commenting, so it keeps jumping, besides cutting it really short? So what is another way to save my hair if it's breaking off on one side besides cutting it really short?
One of my alternatives is always add some extensions. When you don't really want to compromise your length or you're not ready to go shorter just yet, extensions are always a good way to go because you can still get the look that you want with hair. You don't have to cut your hair off. So I would say trim it really, really good, condition it really, really good, pop a weave in it, and just let it grow and just don't touch it for like the next 3 to 6 months, and you'll see your hair grow about 2 inches.
Mm.
And just give it a rest. Our hair sometimes it loves to be braided, you know? Our hair loves braids, but when you're constantly putting heat, curling iron, relaxer, things like that, it's not getting a chance to rejuvenate itself, you know,
right,
or restore itself. So sometimes our hair just needs a break.
Right. Okay, and the next question from Tyra's Little Sis also was, what was it like working with Tyra?
Tyra is probably, I don't want to say my favorite, but she's one of my favorites because she is, and I still work with her, she's a businesswoman. And like I said before, a businesswoman is who, a businesswoman is who I ultimately, you know, am always striving to become. So she's a businesswoman, and that's what I really loved about her the most.
Okay. All right. And then our next question. Says recently, this is from Coffee410. She says, recently my hair seems to be damaged, thin split ends, breakage at the crown, et cetera. I've been babying it, trying to nurse it back to health, but it looks bad. Would you recommend weave while nursing back to health? You pretty much almost answered that question, but...
Yeah, I kind of did, yeah. To give your hair a break, I always recommend weaves unless your hair is really, really fine in texture. I always recommend weaves. And nowadays, they have so many great wigs. They have lace fronts. They have so many other alternatives as far as hair extensions that you can really... just be versatile with. Some people just take their hair and just pull it back in a bun and wear it like that for a month or two. They can work out, you can get it
right
for a break, condition it, and you can feel your scalp. Some people just like to feel their scalp.
Right.
So I just say a lot of deep conditioning treatments, you know, always help. You know, I'm in L'Oreal Salon, so we use a lot of, I have a lot of color in my hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I use I use something called L'Oreal Intense Repair, and I absolutely love it. It's in a jar. It's a mask. It's in a jar. And I always use hydrating shampoos just to give your hair that moisture that it needs to just kind of keep it restored, you know?
Right. And for those people who are doing the lace fronts, and I'm not a hairstylist, but please leave that to the professionals.
Yeah, leave that to us.
Leave it to the professionals.
Just a little bit about the lace front. I'm going to just, like 1 minute on this. Lace fronts were originally, they originally started for, like, they used to use them in plays and theater and television.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, I think the Koreans got a hold of it, you know, it's a great idea. But what they didn't understand was you have to learn how to match the lace itself with your skin tone.
Right.
With your skin tone. So what they were doing is the laces were so thick, they were not meshing into the face. Because you're not supposed to put makeup on top of it at all. You're not supposed to use a glue that's going to stick on your head for freaking 6 weeks. You're not supposed to shave your hairline off to make it match because some people's hairlines are really close to their face.
Right.
So they were really creative for TV, and they're ideal for women with large foreheads. If you do it, they're good for women with large foreheads. And spirit gum is what you should use to as an adhesive. It's called spirit gum.
Right.
Spirit gum is really, really good because it lasts. If you really wanted to last for 3 days, you could, but, you know, you just have to be really gentle with your hairline and, you know, but to get the best result, it's always better, like, the first day you put it on. It's something you have to do every day because it's for TV.
Right.
So,
and also, you made a good point about you're not supposed to put makeup on it. You have to learn, if you're a makeup artist and you have a client who has one, you have to learn how to blend that foundation up to that lace.
Yeah, and a lot of times we call it burning. So you darken the hairline a little bit, and then you mesh it on top. And then it'll just, you know, because you want your hair, you want it to match your skin tone. So a lot of times around your hairline, you're darker, and in your T-zone, you're lighter. So
right.
You want to make sure that that you're burned. We call it burning. You make it a little bit darker around your hairline. And when you put it on top, it just really matches right in.
Right. Okay, so the next question, that was a good question, by the way, but the next question is from Technicolor, and she says that she went to the barbershop with a pic from your Facebook page and told them to cut her hair like yours. She says she colored her hair more of a copper tone red. She says she wants to know a good product to maintain touching up her roots herself that won't overprocess her hair.
If she likes the color that she uses, she can stick with the color that she uses because she knows the color that she uses. If she's in the red family, I love Miss Clairol, the ones you buy right at Sally's and the squeeze tube, the Miss Clairol Professional. I love those. They're slightly gentle. If you want to go into the blonde family, I would not recommend those because they pull up too much red. So I use L'Oreal 901S, if anybody wants to know, because it's ashier, and my skin, it just matches better with my skin tone. So, goodness. Okay, so I like Miss Clairol, the red tones. Just stick with the roots. Don't pull it through the ends, and put a rinse on the ends to refresh it versus, you know, because sometimes the reds fade really, really fast. So you want to just do the root and then put a rinse on the ends, whether it's cellophane, a jazzing, anything that's really, really moisturizing, you know, to the ends. You don't want to use color on top of color. You don't want to use color on top of color.
Okay, she's saying that the color she used did not have a lifter in it. She actually bleached it first, then dyed it.
Okay, so that's even more, it'll fade even faster. So, like I said, do the roots the same way she did it, and then apply the rinse all over. So she bleaches the roots, and then she can apply the rinse all over. She doesn't have to, bleach it up, only do it to the roots, and then put a rinse all over on top, cellophane or jazzing.
Okay.
That's perfect.
Okay. And then one last question from Devin. She says her daughter has a relaxer, but it wasn't pulled all the way through. And she doesn't like relaxing her hair every month, but maybe 2 to 3 times per year. What can she do in between those times to keep her hair maintained, her hair soft in texture but thick?
Okay, wait, say it one more time.
Okay, her daughter's hair is soft in texture and it's thick, and she relaxes her hair. She says she doesn't like relaxing her hair every month, but maybe 2 to 3 times per year. And she wants to know, what can she do in between those times to keep her hair maintained?
What is she trying to maintain? The healthiness of her hair? What is she trying to maintain?
Okay, so Devin, if you hear that, type away. I'm assuming keeping it healthy, but also straightened as well.
Because it's really thick.
Thick and she's only doing it 2 to 3 times a year.
Well, one of the things that I always recommend is a really good conditioner.
Mm-hmm.
A really good conditioner is always good, and it helps really to break down the hair and break the tubules down. And then, I'm doing this. Tell her, hold on 1 second.
Sure. So if anyone else has any questions and you want to call in, please do so now at 914-803-4399, and you can ask Kaya your question directly.
And I just want to say to all the callers that I see out there, I see a lot of callers with their hands up. And when I see hands up, that means that you want to talk. So I'm going to hit the phone lines and see how many people I can get to ask a question or make a comment. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kaya.
Okay, so to keep it healthy, to maintain the thickness, and to break it down, a good thermal spray is always good. And I just recommend really just to keep that healthiness is to really stay away from the – if she's doing it herself, I would just really use – I use a lot of the ceramic iron. Like, I really try to not use the oven too much because I do find when you come in often to get it done every week or 2 weeks, it's going to naturally, like – it just thins the hair out of it. So I'll press it with, I can straighten hair with my Unite or my FHI flat iron, and I'll just lightly, and I'll lightly go through the root just to hit that kink at the root and the edge.
Right. Yeah, she says that she mainly wants to keep it as straight as possible, and she says she uses a chi to straighten it.
Yep, a chi is good, but I find that it has to be, if you want a good flat iron, you guys, 450 is the best.
Thank you for saying that.
Nowadays, you have some, and always use, and to keep it straight, what I use is a light aerosol, like silicone-based hairspray. If you tell your stylist, they'll know what it means.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. Since you said 450 and up, I'm so glad you said that because I love the heat. Now, in the Larry Sims the first episode of Beauty Talk where Larry talks about the four, you know, having it as hot as 450 can burn your hair and all that. Like I never found for my hair, I never thought that because I thought I actually needed more heat than like 400 or, you know, like 380. And so I just got this this one iron in the mail. I don't know if you've heard of, I think it's Seydoux Revolution. I don't know if you've heard of that, but it goes up to 450, and it's great. Like, I took it into my salon, and they loved it, so I kept asking them, you know, put it on 450, and let's see what it does. And they're like, no, you're going to burn your hair out. It's like, no, I'm not. I've used it before. So they tried it, and they loved it on me.
Yeah, I mean, that's where the irons are now. You use it in the oven is 1,000 degrees.
Right.
So, I mean, but at least this way your hair is protected. You know that. And it depends. The thing about getting a hotter iron, and if I say 400 and up, if some go 430, some go 420, so I say 430 to about 450. Anything hotter than 450 is probably too hot. But what it is if your hair is thinner, then you turn the dial down.
Right.
You don't have to go for it, but you want, if you're a hairstylist or if you're doing other people's hair, you want it to be able to service all people's hair. Like mine has to be 450 because everybody doesn't have the same texture.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. Before I go on to more questions, I'm going to see if I have any callers. Let's see here. I have someone from the 702 area code. See, hi, would you like to speak with Kaya?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, my gosh. Hi. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Okay, first I just want to say that, like, I love your work. I'm a huge, huge fan. I just, like, I'm a stylist of 2 years. I just got out of beauty school about 2 years ago. And so I look at you as, like, a guide of how I want to be later.
Oh,
I just want to say thank you so much. Oh, my gosh.
Thank
like,
you.
So.
Thank you. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Tristan, and I'm from Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I was going to ask you, what exactly is an agency, and how do you get involved with something like that?
Well, for about my whole career, pretty much, I've been building on my book and my look. And like I said, I've evolved as a stylist so much. One thing about, you know, being an artist, you have to keep up with your work, and you always want to get involved in photo shoots, test shoots, photo shoots, fashion shows. You want to just execute and exercise your craft any way that you can. Anywhere that you can, anybody asks you to do it for free, do it for money, do it. And keep your work. Make sure that you, if you shoot with a photographer, you get that photographer's number, you get that photo. one of the things about, you know, going to an agency, you want to go to, when you're able to approach an agency, you want to go proud. You want to say, look at my book, look at all the work I've accumulated. It's going to take you about it's taken me about 10 years to get the work that I have on my book, you know. It's taken me a while to be able to approach an agency. The agencies that I wanted to approach, I couldn't even walk in there without the book that I had. So it took time to build that book. It took a strong clientele to build that book. And when you want a good book, I'm going to take it a step further. Make sure you have good models. You cannot get your home. You can't get your home girl because she's cute, but she may not know how to pose. She may not know how to pose in front of the camera. She's pretty, but she don't have the right angle. Sometimes the girl that's not so cute photographs beautifully, and you notice that from top model. Top model was a great reference to watch because she showed you how beauty comes in all forms. It's not all about the pretty girl, light skin, long hair, da da. You know what I mean? Or the European features. It's about angles, the wide set eyes like Brandy, flat nose. Like it's beauty. It comes in so many different flavors. You know what I mean? So you just want to make sure you got good models. A lot of people will send me links to their books, and the first thing I'm looking at is the model. And I'm like, ooh, if you don't want to look at the model, if the model can't act, then it's like, ooh, she has to know how to look in front of that camera. You know what I mean? So that's like the key to the whole thing, picking and choosing the perfect model to build your book. So that's the key. All right, so don't think that it's something that's going to happen overnight, but you should work aggressively at building your portfolio, getting on board of photo shoots, and even if you have to take some of the pictures yourself, go get you a good camera, people. If you're a hairstylist, don't invest in a good camera. I don't care what it takes. Invest in a good camera and take photos of your work. Just so people can trust you.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you. Oh, my gosh. So much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
I'm going to try one more. Let's see. I'm going to try somebody from the 843 area code. I hope you're...
Hi. Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
How are you? My name is Paulette
Edwards. Hi, Ms. Edwards. What you need?
Oh, I'm a stylist, and I've been blogging you. I applaud your successes, Kyra. I met you running through Lincoln Center in New York City.
Oh, okay. I think I do remember you.
Yeah, me and my daughter.
Oh, yes, I do. I totally remember.
Right, and we've been blogging you and all. I'm excited. I'm excited for you, and I'm excited to be able to meet you again. I've been listening to all of your conversation, and I do have a question as far as unions. How, what is the qualification or what is needed to join the union?
Basically, I got in it by way of a STAR request.
Okay.
So a lot of times, it's a simple question. A lot of times people, you have to be brought into the union. So either you need to work with a stylist that's already in the union, and pretty much that's how you'll get in. Like when I couldn't do work, I'll send an assistant, and, you know, I can assist her in getting in the union. But pretty much you have to be brought in by a celebrity or someone that's already in the union.
Great answer. Next, are you willing to help to have me assist you at some point?
question. Okay, so I have to first how I hire assistants to work with me is I'd have to see your work. I'm a true Nazi when it comes to hair, and I'm honest and I'm all about like excellence. So if you can work with me, did you take a look on my YouTube and you see my assistant? She's in boot camp. So if you pass the boot camp test, you can work with Kyra Wright. And guess what? I'm going to be doing something next year where I'm going to come out and I'm going to work with my favorite stylist. So I'll keep you guys abreast, and maybe you can keep up with me, and maybe you can sign up because I'm coming to work with you for the day.
Oh, I will. I will keep up with you. I forwarded some my Facebook and Universal Salons, but this is not about me. It's about you. So I just want to thank you for keeping me inspired. I've been in the industry 18 years, and I would just like to walk side by side with you and learn a whole lot, learn a lot from you, and also be able to just add some assets to whatever you're doing. Be an asset.
Thank you so much. Keep in touch.
Okay. And last question. I thank you. This is awesome. Spirit gum. I heard you mention that. Where would I purchase something like that?
Look online for Spirit Gum. Look online, www.creations.com. And we'll have I'm not going to delve too much in that because I'm going to save that for a segment that I'm going to do later.
Okay,
but
it's
called Spirit Gum, WW Creations, and I'll be showing you guys how to use it. So call me later.
I will, for sure.
Thank you so much.
Will you be at Fashion Week in February?
I'm not even sure. My schedule.
That was not a smart question.
It's okay.
That wasn't a smart question. You don't know where you might be.
Each day
is a new day. Yeah.
Yes, every day is a new day.
Right. Well, it's been awesome speaking to you. I'll continue to text. I know you can. I can imagine you'll get back to it, email or Facebook. I guess you'll get back to me when you can. I'm just in awe for being able to speak to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Miss Janice.
All right.
For making this possible. All right. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Janice, I wish I could stay on a little bit longer. I may have to resume this call in 20 minutes, but I got to get into my client. It's been almost an hour.
We only have 12 minutes left of the show, so if you have to go now, that's fine. If you have more time, then we'll take another.
Yes, I'm actually I've got a celebrity in my chair right now. She's been really patient, so I'm going to have to go, but I hope that I covered a lot of everything that you guys may need. Look out for my product line. It's coming. It's, Muse Hair, inspired by Kaya Wright. Check out my website. I'm with the Cloutier Agency, Cloutier Remix. I'm new to that family, and I'm excited about that, so pray for me. and I'm also, I have my site, KayaWright.com, which is it's newly launched. I haven't done a hard launch yet, so just, keep me in your thoughts and keep my site in your bookmark.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. I wish I could stay longer, but let's set it up again and we can talk about something even more detailed next week.
Okay.
Sounds
all right. Good. Thank you, ladies.
Okay.
Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye bye. So we have a couple of some beauty news, I believe, that my sister wants to share. What do you have for us?
Well, just a reminder for everyone, again, to go out to the Illusions Cosmetics YouTube page and check out episode 2 of Beauty Talk. We want to get those views up. And for every view that we get in the month of February, again, we're donating $1 to Susan G. Komen for the Cure. So we are really encouraging you all to just go and check them. In the month of, what did I say?
February.
Oh, wow. Yeah, in the month of October. So check that out. And we're going to donate $1 to Susan G. Komen for the Cure. So make sure you go out, watch it today, watch it tomorrow, whatever. Just get those views up so that we'll have, a decent dollar amount to donate. Also, one last thing, I got this email from the Powder Group, and they're finally announcing the winner of the Kelly Gleason Scholarship Award for Makeup Arts. And I'll just read a little bit of this and read who the winner is. The Powder Group and Makeup Designery are pleased to announce the winner of the Kelly Gleason Scholarship for the Makeup Arts 2010. The recipient of a $10,000 scholarship toward programs at Makeup Designery is Brett Dorian from St. Paul, Minneapolis. Brett's submission was chosen from more than 140 submissions from applicants from the U.S., Canada, and 7 other countries. Brett plans to use the scholarship toward enrolling in the fashion program at the Makeup Designery New York campus for September through December 2011, and then will attend the Burbank campus for special effects 201 and 301 for January through March 2012. Brett's efforts will reward her with the Master Makeup Artistry Program diploma from MUD at the end of her programs. We congratulate Brett and wish her all the best with her continued studies and her future in the professional makeup artist industry. And that's from Michael DeVellis, the executive director of the Powder Group. So we want to just congratulate Brett on winning that scholarship. So that's the very first of the Kelly Gleason scholarship for the makeup arts.
And then also I just wanted to say to those who may be out there listening, and I think her name is Miss Edwards, who asked about joining the union. I just want people to also know that you have to do, whether you're makeup, you have to, okay, wait a minute, I'm getting feedback. I think Kaya is still on the line, so I'm going to get rid of her. Okay, here we go. You have to do 180 days in film, television, or theater, okay, and they have to be paid jobs. Also, if you're a hairstylist, you have to be licensed. You have to be a licensed cosmetologist. You just can't do hair.
Right.
And get a... You have to be a licensed cosmetologist. So hopefully that helps some people out who may have been wondering. You know, you can be a star requested. That's not the only way to get in.
Right. Right. And
right.
Also, when for those people who are star request, normally they've worked with these certain celebrities like for more than one time, and that's going to be definitely a requirement in order to be a star request to get into the union. You're going to have worked with a certain celebrity, you know. I mean, I would say easily 5 times, because they're going to want to see that it was more than just, you know, once on this movie or twice on, you know, on something, but that you've actually worked with them numerous times in order for them to even consider you a star request. So for Kaya, I mean, that worked out fine because, you know, she's been working with her on her show for 4 years. So, I mean, that's an easy way in.
Right.
Yeah. So, and even as a makeup artist trying to get into the union, it definitely helps if you have some type of license. Not that anything's required from what I can remember, but if you either have like a, you know, some states will give you a makeup license if you go through a state-approved program, or if you're a licensed esthetician. I mean, it helps to be a licensed esthetician or through certain states a licensed makeup artist. When you know, considering getting into the union, they're going to want to know that you have some type of professional credentials.
And also, as far as being a makeup artist, just knowing how to do makeup is not the only thing. I mean, you have to know how to do some special effects, bruises, scars, black eyes, that kind of thing, bald caps. And hairstyles, you have to know how to work with wigs. So, you know, it's a little bit more than just knowing how to do hair and just knowing how to do makeup. So that's why I always say it's important to study your craft. And if the union is something that you think you're interested in, because it's not for everybody, but if it's something that you think you're interested in, then you really should have a great understanding of what it is and why you want to be in it. You know, before going forward. So,
right.
There were so many questions, so many more questions, actually, that I wanted to ask Kaya. And there were a couple more callers that I didn't get a chance to get to. So I appreciate you all working with me on the phone. We still had a very full phone line, but everybody wanted to ask a question. So
Well, do you have time to take any of those?
Well, I'm not tired. I can't answer them. So what we're going to try to do is, she mentioned before getting off, you know, maybe we schedule some time, she can answer them next week. So what I'll do is I'll see if she can come back, if she has time to come back next week in her schedule for part two. We can try to do that. If it doesn't work, we can just bring her on at some other time. But I, like I said, I had quite a few more questions, and even though I'm not a hairstylist, this conversation was very inspiring to me.
Yeah.
Seems to be very dedicated and a hard worker, and she, you know, she, one of the questions I wanted to get into is, even though she does a lot of celebrities, and like she said, she still works in her salon, but she also has a love for that everyday woman, and you know, and their image and how they look. So that's what I really wanted to get into with her, to talk a little bit more about that, because she's one of the celebrity hairstyles that's known for her love for the everyday woman. So there are a lot more questions we can ask Taya. Of course, we didn't get a chance to ask her what beauty is to her.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a chance back for that. But stay tuned to our Facebook page and our Twitter page for more announcements about who our guest will be next week. If it's not Taya, it will be somebody else. So one way or the other, join us next week for more Beauty Talk. The call-in number is 914-803-4399. And if you have if you have questions and comments that you can make, you can always call in the night of the show, or you can send your questions to info@illusionsbeauty.com. Send it to us at @illusionsbeauty on Twitter, and we'll get those questions in.
And
we'll make those comments. Tell a friend about the show. And also, coming up soon, we're going to have a show where we just want people to call in, tell us where they're calling from, you know, throughout our
discussions. Right.
We want to know who's listening. We can see the statistics here, and it tells us how many people are calling, you know, how many people are listening. So we know that. We just don't know where you all are located. We don't know where you're calling in from. We don't know where you are and what city you're in. So we would love to know about that, because we've had lots of surprises, just really surprising who all are listening to the show. The show has grown tremendously. So we thank you for your support. Keep listening. And we will chat with you all next week.
Well, really quickly, before we cut off, I just wanted to just thank everybody for their questions. They were really, really good questions. And, you know, those are the types of questions for each guest that we need you all to bring to the table, because it really enriches the conversation, I think. And so those were, you know, four really good questions. So just, you know, keep those coming.
Right. And to Tristan in Las Vegas and Ms. Edwards in New York, thank you for your call. To those who we couldn't get to on the phone lines, I do apologize, and I ask that you would stay tuned, because we're going to bring Taya back. So if you have questions for her, stay tuned for the next show that she's on, and we'll get your questions in the next time. Again, if you like tonight's show, go out on our profile page and mark it as a favorite. We would really appreciate that. Leave a comment if you like. We'd appreciate that as well. And again, just tell as many people as you can about Beauty Talk this Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, again, thank you all for listening, and have a great night.
Good night.